Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's June the 1st, and this is the Recreation Committee. And we only have two committees today, so we're going to stay about 3 hours just to make it. Before we get started, I want to wish the mayor a happy birthday. Hope she has many more.
Yes, so do I.
I'm going to ask, before we get into the agenda items, I'm going to ask Thomasina Stokes Marshall to give a little report on her visit to county council last month. She went on our behalf, the rec behalf, and the senior center behalf for monies that we had been minus for a little while. So she went and pleaded our cause, and I'd like you to please tell us what happened.
Okay, well, once the senior center initially opened, Charleston County Council had approved contributions to the town of Mount Pleasant to help offset and maintain the membership fee for county council residents to pay the same exact $100 annual membership fee as the Mount Pleasant residents pay. However, I believe it was at least 2 years when there were no contributions made to that effect. So as our council deliberated on trying to finalize our budgets, one of the things I inquired as to whether or not we had appealed to Charleston County Council to continue making that contribution that would enable their residents to continue paying the $100 membership fee. And I believe it was this committee that asked council to direct the mayor to send a letter to Charleston County Council requesting that they allow myself and our town administrator, Eric DeMore, to address the finance committee meeting, and which we did last month. And it was ironic because as it was our turn to step up to the podium, we had one council member, Colleen Condon, who just before hearing anything made a motion to approve the request. And I believe it was Teddy Pryor that seconded it. And however, there were three council members. One was Dickie Schwers, who represents East of the Cooper, Rick Rawls, and Mr. Quayle, I believe his name is, who were adamantly opposed to making any kind of contribution because they actually stated that they didn't feel that they should be focusing on recreation for the senior population. So as I stood at the podium and took all of that in, I also surveyed the council chamber, and after it got to be my turn to speak, I acknowledged all of them and indicated that as I observed council chamber, at least 95 to 98% of the people in council chamber were senior citizens. And senior citizen residents have the same exact right as any other age population. But make a long story short, the vote did pass 6-2.
But one person's absent.
One person's absent, right. So, and from there, I believe it moves on to their full council for approval. So it looks like we're in the running to get that additional money as we have in the past.
Very good. Thomasina has been quite a champion of the senior cause, as you all well know here in the audience. And but it's a financial thing too with us, and we were counting on those monies for some programming, and when they didn't come in, it really hurt us. So we're glad she was successful. Thank you very much, Thomas. And Eric, thank you. All right, agenda items. I don't know if everybody's got an agenda, but the first item on here is approval of the minutes from the April 7th meeting.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Second item is employee years of service recognition. Ken, will you take that?
Yes, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to do it. Ann? Hold up here for a minute. Ann Selmer's been with us for 15 years. Actually, 15 years, 1 month. May 1st was her anniversary date, and I asked her if she wanted me just to hold on to the little packet that she gets until today, and she said, nah, go ahead and give it to me now, so. That's why I have nothing to give to her right now, but she's already received her packet. But she's been with us for 15 years. She's at the General Center, where I think you've been the whole time, if I'm not mistaken. And she leads up our camp program, our summer camp program, and a lot of the programs over at the Jones Center. And interesting fact is, this past spring, we had our spring break camps. Last year, we had 118 participants, and we had 8 camps canceled. Ann noticed that. She took immediate action. This year, for our camps, we had 16 camps. Only 2 were canceled, and we had 321 participants. As compared to 118 last year, our revenue was nearly $10,000 as compared to just $3,800 last year. So that's the kind of person she is. I'm very proud to have her. She'll do almost anything we ask her to, including driving the bus early morning of the bridge run, getting the state guard to where they need to be. Very reliable employee, very pleased to have her. And thank you so much for 15 years.
Thank you, Ann. On behalf of the town, we appreciate your 15 years of service. So.
Thank you.
We know you do a great job. Anybody have anything for Ann? Thank you. All right, item number 3, the item that's been burning up my email all weekend, is a discussion of the minimum age for senior center membership. Let me put start this thing off a little bit. We've been looking at the demographics at the senior center for quite some time. In Mount Pleasant too, the demographics in Mount Pleasant are staggering. Our population over here is getting older faster than any other segment in town. And we're concerned because we know that second senior center that we've been all hoping to get is probably 5 or 6, 7 years down the road. So we're concerned about what's going on at our present senior center. And that's why I put this on the agenda. We need to talk about the age requirement to be able to join the senior center. I did some research, and we're one of the very few that is as low as 50 statewide at town or city-sponsored senior centers. Most of them are 60. One or two are 55, and very few, or one or two, are 50. So we're concerned. It's a growing number. We feel like in the next 5 years, especially, we're going to get hit pretty hard at the senior center. And you know as well as I do, when you go over there at certain times, there's no parking. You're parking everywhere. You're going to have a major construction project across the street starting pretty soon. It's going to be even more difficult. We just want to talk about it. So that's why it's on the agenda. So I'll start with my committee, I'll start off with this. I'll let you, Ken, start off with the numbers that you put together for our information. And we'll go from there.
Here's some basic points of information that I provided to committee members prior to this, to help with the discussion. Currently, we have 2,698 members of the center, 151, which are ages 50 to 54. Estimated revenue from this age group is over $15,000 a year, just in membership fees alone. That does not include any programs that they may sign up for along that line. And that's why I said additional revenue for CATS is paid unknown at this time. We do have other programs in the recreation department for seniors that begin at 55, notably in tennis and aquatics. Tennis is driven by the USTA requirement for the leagues at 55, and aquatics is driven by the master's program as well. Age 50 as a senior, what we found locally, this Low Country Senior Center over on James Island is age 50. City of Charleston senior programs start at 50. AARP, and I think sometimes AARP starts at 40, because I started getting those mail outs 20 years ago from AARP. And the Association for Mature American Citizens, which I think is a counterpart to AARP. Silver Sneakers program is an insurance program that offers seniors the ability, if you join it, to go to other centers around the country and receive the same benefits as though you would if you were at your home center, so to speak, and several other state and nationwide programs. The current age works well with active senior center appeal, which is what we are really proud of over at the senior center. It's a vibrant place, and that was one of the main reasons why we chose 50 back when we opened it. It does have a potential effect in center usage, such as scheduling, programming, and management. I do have some figures after a weekend of researching our figures to share with you later if you so desire. A potential for decrease in evening program, because mainly that's where you see the 50 to 54 age group coming in. And sometimes you need that little bit to continue a program. You don't have enough in other ages to continue. And then the current membership age promotes healthy aging principles from earlier onset and offers the younger seniors positive role models for aging as they see how some of these older seniors manage themselves. So these are pretty much the points that me and my staff came up with to share with you to hopefully lead toward a discussion that you want to take it.
Do you have those other figures readily available? Or?
Yes, sir, I got them scattered right here.
So they're not, you don't have them on a presentation where everybody...
No, sir, I don't. I worked on these.
Okay. But
I'm prepared to share some with you, ask questions, and maybe some of these stats can show.
All right. Well, I got a cute email about the AARP, and somebody wrote me and said that pay no attention to that. 50, it's all about money with the AARP, and I tend to agree with that. But anyway, I'll open it up to committee for discussion first. Thomasina, you got anything?
Yeah, I have a lot, but I'd
like to
hear what everybody else
has
to say.
Okay. I'll first say that thanks for all the emails that we received. Matter of fact, I think I got 9 or 10 before I even knew this item was going to be an item on the agenda. So I guess things are circulating over at Senior Center. I'm very familiar with the setup we have as I sat on the Recreation Committee with Ms. Stokes Marshall when we originally got the bylaws and guidelines of the Senior Center. So in this, we're always monitoring the numbers, I understand it. It's what generates the discussion for the second senior center and the things we could do. Other than that, like I said, I saw this on Thursday. So I'm here to be educated as to what the intent is, what the ups and what the downs are to change the age from 50 to 55. I can tell you right now, for me, I see no reason to do that, but I always appreciated anything that says we want to have a discussion. Which, by the way, folks, some of you wrote emails in. You wrote your emails as if we had already made up our minds on this. It's clear, like you heard Mr. Carrier say, this is about having a discussion. We try to do with all our topics, to talk through them, like here. Because I'm here today, just like y'all, to understand all the parameters to this. So with that, I'm all ears, Mr. Carrier.
Thank you. I'm seeing before I open it up to the public.
I just, myself more so than any other council member, spend more time in the senior center than any other. So I have the opportunity to see and observe a number of things that's going on there. And also, I am in a position where I have a number of our members who will approach me from time to time with different issues of concern. I, like you, Paul, was not aware that this item was on the agenda until Thursday. And of course, I inquired from Recreation Director as well as Mr. Carrion as to, one, what is the rationale, the reasoning, and the ultimate goal that we anticipate achieving from looking at bringing about this change. And the comments that I got was, and I have to admit it made sense to me, I am fully aware of the increase in membership at the senior center. I'm also aware, after having a discussion with Mr. Ailey, the percentage of those seniors between 54 that utilize the senior center, those periods of the day, which is usually in the early morning or the later evening, when the overall usage of the center tends to be the least. So I look at, okay, how much of an impact is that population creating on the overall program activities and everything that's going on at the center? And when we look at the existing numbers right now, in my mind, I would say that it's minimal. However, I also recognize that as a person charged with making decisions, not just for the short term, but the long term benefits of our town as a whole, do we just continue going along with the existing program for between 55, or do we look at potentially grandfathering those that are already in, and as we move forward, look at setting a date when we would now say, okay, because of the changes that's creating potential negative impacts, that there is a need, a demonstrated need, that we say, okay, in 2, 3, or whatever period of time, we do need to change the age requirement from 50 to 55, all right? I also think that it's extremely important that as we move forward with this, that we educate our existing membership of the senior center, as well as our public as a whole, as to the reasoning and the rationale for attempting to make these changes. There's no question that, to a great extent, the senior center, we who run and operate the center, we have become a victim of our success. There's no question, as I read through some of the emails, both from members as well as some of our instructors, who, by the way, are professional people who specialize in gerontology and other areas dealing with our senior population, where there's a camaraderie there, that where one feeds off of the other and ultimately benefits everyone. And I think that's a very healthy environment. I think it's those kind of elements that helps to make the senior center what it is. So, after saying all of that, I'll end by saying that I do feel, as we move forward, when we look at the fact that our senior population is the fastest growing population,
not only in the town of Mount Pleasant, but in our country as a whole, that we do need to look at making changes and adjustments that will address the needs of that population. And I have to say this, because as I look around this room, like I do, county council, the majority of the people in here, they're not already senior citizens, they're fastly approaching, all right? So one of the things that I have found in the amount of time that I spend in our senior center, the most popular place aside from the exercise room is the cafe. Out of 2,700 plus cafe members, we have 5 people that volunteer to run and operate that cafe. And that cafe runs from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening. All it takes is 2 hours, one day a week, by X number of people to make that commitment. I know this is off the track, Captain, but I got to put it in there. The other thing
I'm giving
is,
you lots of leeway here, too.
Okay. The other thing is the coffee alone averages $1,200 plus just for coffee, all right? Everything in that cafe is free. Without having volunteers or members of the center willing to step up to the plate and help run and manage that cafe, we are looking at the potential of contracting a concession business to come into that cafe and run it. If that happens, right now everything is free. The Booster Club has even partnered with Low Country Food Bank where we get fresh fruit and healthy vegetables and snacks and stuff, because we know the sweet stuff is not good for all seniors. All right. And so concession business comes in there. Every single item in that cafe will have a cost, including a bottle of water. I'm finished.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. All right. Do you have, can you add anything with your numbers that you brought or prepared that just pertain to 50, the 50 to 54?
Yes, sir. What we did, we ran a report. Sarah, I have to give kudos to her. She spent quite a few hours pulling this report together for me. But we were able to break down 50, 51, 52, 53, 54 age groups and all other age groups as well, but we concentrated on 50, 54. And we found some interesting information to share with you. We did an average daily visits of that age group. 54 average 11 a day coming into the center. That's based on a total of 3,400 visits over the course of 310 business days that we were open. And that was by far the lowest number of visits. The only age group that surpassed that 11 was higher than was the 90 plus. The largest age group that attended that building on a daily basis was 65 to 69 year olds. They were 75, average of 75 per day coming in. During the peak times, we identified the peak times, which is the critical time, at 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. when you do have the parking issue, you do have the crowdedness in there. The average for the 50 to 54 age group was only 4.2, less than 5, 4 people a day in that age group came in during that peak time. The highest number again would be in the 65 to 69 age group during those peak times. When we look at a total number of visits, for example, 1 year from May 2014 to May 2015, nearly 93,000 visits into that center. And this is just for Mount Pleasant residents only. This did not include any non-residents, and it did not include any county residents, which is a very small percentage
of that number, so we stuck with the most readily available numbers, and that was for Mount Pleasant residents. The 50 to 54 age group only represented 4% of that total at that 3,400 visits. No surprise, the largest total number of visits during that time was age 67, nearly 6,000 visits, age 68, nearly 5,400 visits, and age 69, nearly 4,700 visits. We did a percentage of membership during the time since we've been open. 2008, we didn't have any. At age 50 to 54, we didn't open until October, so we have a little leeway there. We had 824 members, none of which were 50 to 54 at the time. We did get one member the next fiscal year, and we had 829 members. We had one member at 50 to 54. Then we started seeing a little tick up. Following year with 1,600 members, we had 23 at 50 to 54, just over 1%. Following year in 11-12, we had over 2,200 members, 58 were 50 to 54. And then it stayed at 2.6% for 2 years, and then when we had nearly 3,000 members, that total number went up to 137 members, which is just about 4.5%. And then this past year, as I mentioned, we were at 2698 with 151 members, which is just over 5.5%. Member. So we do see a slight tick upward in the trend. Outside of the 1 year where we had 3,000 members, it's usually been about a 1% increase each year. Most other age groups are in the high single digits, 10-11%. And then we do have quite a few that go nearly 20%, particularly the 65 to 69 age group, which is where you see the large numbers come into play for us. Did a daily snapshot on May 27th. The numbers that came in on that day, 50 to 54 seniors, only 8 were in that age group during that time. No surprise, 65 to 69, nearly 100. And then 70 to 74 was actually the next highest group with over 80 coming in during. So again, that daily snapshot, we pretty much stayed in the percentage. Around 2.3% was the total that we had coming in at that age group coming in. The peak times for this age group is 8, 9 a.m., as well as 4, 5, and 6. Even during that time, they were not the dominant number in there. At 8 a.m. during the whole year, 136 visits. 9 a.m., 75 visits. 4 p.m., 80 visits. 5 p.m., 253 visits, which was the highest number of visits by that age group for the year. And 6 p.m., 130 visits. To give you an example, 8 a.m., 67-year-old group, 1,255. So that one age, 67, far surpassed the entire group of 50 to 54-year-olds at 8 a.m.
Okay. Yes, sir, we appreciate the numbers. I'm going to open it up to the boosters if there's, unless you have anything else to say.
Just have one question. I know before the expansion, as far as the exercise room is concerned, because of the increase in the numbers, we used to have a waiting list. Okay. Since the expansion of the exercise room, have we experienced situations where all machines were being used and there was a need for people to be put on a waiting list in order to utilize those machines?
Let me get your accurate answer, Gary.
Well, can you reply to that, please? Yeah, back at the original phase one, we had 4 treadmills, and we needed a waiting list. That was basically it. People were waiting to get on the treadmills. So we have 10 of them now. We have expanded hours. So during the peak times, they're flowing. People have to be on their 30-minute time limit. Most folks follow that. You know, and just like a gym, during peak hours, it just runs a little busier. A little gym etiquette on some of the machines. You wait for a machine, do something else, then when it's open, you go to it. So it seems to move pretty well.
Thank you.
They're still busy. Yeah, I mean, the concern is there for not so much today, but for the future. And I'm not talking about future down the road too far. I mean, we really have to monitor this thing because it can get out of hand pretty quick, in my opinion. And unless we have a handle on it through staff, observing and getting back to us, reporting back to us, that's important. I mean, we have to know. I appreciate everybody coming out today. I'm going to open it up to the public. I'd like to, for you to stand up and give your name and address and 2 minutes of your time to tell us what you're here for. If there is any duplication, I'd appreciate it if you, somebody says something that you want to say that you just let that person have said it. So is anybody would like to say anything?
Yes, I would.
Yes,
thank you. My name is Jay Lawrence. I live in Snead Farm. And I wonder, have you entertained the idea of opening up on Sundays, when people have time, perhaps, to come there? And also, you know, you quoted some figures about who's doing what in terms of age. And I think perhaps, since we're in the business of health, how can you say no to a 50-year-old who wants to improve his or her health? And exercise, of course, is one way of doing that. I can't think how we can go backwards on this.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. It becomes the staffing issue is, we looked at the staffing issue big time. We'd have to man it. We'd have to have people there. And already we're spending a lot of money on the senior center, and the revenues don't match up. So it becomes a dollar and cents game. But as far as why we would want to exclude a 50-year-old, there's plenty of options for a 50-year-old. Versus a 65 or 70-year-old. Those options aren't there for that person. So that's why, mainly.
But could you not send out a bulletin saying, look, you know, we're getting overcrowded, and we need to stagger the times more and maybe add Sunday? And in terms of the construction across the street, that's temporary? I think it's workable.
Probably.
Next. Go ahead. I'm Deb Barr, and I live in 797 Post Oak Drive, and I sort of represent this age group we're talking about. And what's clear to me today from the statistics is it is not this age group that's causing crowding. I mean, we have minimal people attending, 8, 11 people a day. I can't imagine that's our issue for capacity or parking. It's got to be something else. I love the senior center. I don't need to go into that because this truly is about capacity, is what you're saying. And I do see that our age population around us is growing. I believe that's probably true, but I think we're premature in changing the rule this year when we have 8 or 11 of us attending a day. Maybe 3 years from now you need to change that. We have so many functions at the senior center, card games and trips. Lots of times those are the days when you can't find parking. So I'm wondering what the true issue is for that. Also, I noticed our statistics were about Mount Pleasant residents only. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I know lots of people who attend who do not live in Mount Pleasant. So I am wondering how accurate our statistics are. Because I can think of the classes that I'm in and I can name 20 people right now that are, do not live in Mount Pleasant. So I just feel that it's not the age group that is the factor. These statistics do not prove that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Something that hasn't been said we'd like to say? Yes, sir.
My name is Al Bradshaw Whitmore, and I live in
Del Hall call, and I'm an engineer, past background, so I like to deal in the facts, and I was wondering if all these numbers are available somewhere online or something, so we can also look at it and have an informed decision about the tenants and everything. I made notes here, but it's impossible to make all those notes. I deal in the facts. That's what engineers do, and that's what I do not deal with the heart. And I think that South Carolina has a very high obesity rate, and I think that being open 50-year-old is a way to reduce that. We should even start lower, but that's some other program. It's ridiculous. And it's like certain sugar-free foods. I'm a diabetic. I like them and everything, and then all of a sudden they disappear because they deal in supply and demand, so they stop it because they're not selling enough. And that's why I'm also obese. And I like all these figures. I'm not in favor of increasing the age.
Okay, thank you. We've got those bullet points. Maybe, Gary, we can put those on the bulletin board over there. It's just the ones you prepared. Now, as far as these finite numbers about who attends what, when, and what time, that I don't think those are in any sort of final form, are they?
We could easily put them.
Okay.
If it's
desired. We can put it together. We can do a bullet point sheet. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Nancy Colonius, and I live at 86 Accession Street in Ion. And my thoughts about the 50, 54, or even 50 to 60 age brackets, when you turn 50, it's the athletic centers, the health centers, are really not the answer, because that's a whole different genre of, what's the word, community. I think the mindset, not necessarily for everybody, 50 is maybe the new 40 in terms of your mental acuity and where, how you feel about yourself. But in terms of community and who you want to associate with, I think that changes to a certain extent. And the Senior Center provides that opportunity for people who are ready to move into the that next phase of their life, you know. And to cut that out, I mean, going to, and I know a lot of members of the Senior Center who, in fact, have left the Senior Center for a while to go work out at a health center or an athletic center. And a year later, they're back. They say it's just so empty in
cold,
terms.
Cold.
Yeah, just cold and empty, and you know, the focus is just on that person and their particular workout. And at the Senior Center, there's just this whole camaraderie of other things to do. It's not just working out. It's, you know, social, it's card games, it's dancing, it's learning new languages. You know, it's just a whole taking care of your total being. And to eliminate it at 50, to me, would be shameful.
Thank you. Mayor?
Linda Page, 1458 Short Street. Thank you, Elton, for putting this on the agenda. It's obviously a very important discussion that we need to continue to have. It sounds to me like if we're getting $15,000 a year in income and there are only 7 or 8 of them using it a day, we're probably pretty good right now. But it's certainly something that we need to continue to watch. And you're right, this community, and it's awesome to live in a town. I mean, I'm amazed every day. As I ride around town, people who are running and walking and boating or kayaking and out using all of our recreational facilities. So personally, I think we need to monitor it and continue to watch it. And hopefully we'll get some additional funding from the county and continue to grow senior programs, not just the senior center, but you know, community programs for this vibrant part of our community. 56 and older. So thank you for putting it on the agenda.
You're welcome. Rodney, do you have something?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Again, I also like to thank you for putting this item on the agenda. And thank you to Mr. Ayoub and his staff for giving us some numbers that, for me, were eye-openers. And the reason why I like the fact that it's on the agenda, it opens it up for further discussion about the senior population in Mount Pleasant. We know that the 50 to 55 age group, 54 age group is really not the issue today. But you mentioned, you know, a possibility of another senior center 5 or 6 years down the road. I think the items that should be on the agenda are, and discussion should be around, working on getting a second senior center open. Instead of, you know, let's limit to age, a certain age group. The other thing is around the budget that you have for the senior center. And is it enough with the population growing? And we know that it's going to grow. And then the other thing about the seniors too, a discussion about the Department on Aging, having someone focused on looking at the services for the seniors age group within Mount Pleasant. I suggest that the committee, the council, and the mayor look at those three suggestions and put those on the agenda for discussion, and how do we make those things happen sooner than later.
Thank you, Rod. Go ahead, Gary.
I'll be brief. Gary Santos, 1690 Greystone Boulevard. I think the mayor summed it up pretty well, as the lady over here did. And I agree with what they had to say. And I think basically the last item on there pretty much sums up what I wanted to say. Thank you.
I'd like to move on. We got two other big agenda items. Can go ahead now.
Sarah Nelson, I live in the Indian Village in Mount Pleasant. just to address the coffee issue, we spoke about this, my husband and myself. We are 5-day-a-week attendees. We drink a cup of coffee or two every day. We would be happy to pay for that. We consider that the volunteers cost nothing to the town. The food that comes in costs nothing to the town. It's the coffee, the cups, the sugar, the cream. That kind of thing is what costs. And if that thing alone could be put in a vending-type machine where you pay 50, 75 cents a dollar for a cup of coffee, then those who don't drink coffee won't be burdened with that cost, but the ones who do pay for it themselves, and we eliminate $1,000 plus a month of expenditures that we shouldn't have put on taxpayers.
All right.
Thank you.
Paul, you had a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Ken, just to back up on your numbers, nearly 3,000 members, and you say 151 are between 50 and 54. Are those all town residents?
The total number of residents, the total number of membership does include the Charleston County residents and the non-residents as well. Both of those come up to around 3 or 4%. I think totally it's about 6% of our membership are not Mount Pleasant residents. They're either Charleston County or non-residents of the county.
So we have what is the fee for non-residents of the county?
200.
What's the fee for out of town but in the county?
100.
And the fee for
residents is 100.
Yeah. And we'll be talking
basically
about that.
Charleston County.
We'll
residents.
Talk about that in a minute too.
So. Right. And the other thing I wanted to add, Thomasina, that was wonderful news to talk about what those volunteers were able to do every single day. Because I would say that it is the core of our complete and entire recreation department. It's the volunteers and what they do, and it is why we are one of the top recreation partners in the state because of our citizen volunteers. And I was just glad to hear that. I wanted to comment on that.
Can I elaborate on that? Okay. As far as the amount of volunteers that is needed to run that cafe 6 days a week, from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening, four volunteers is not enough, right? And we need more volunteers, and they should come from the members who participate there in the center. 2 hours a day, 1 day a week. The other thing I wanted to say, you know, we talk about the potential of eliminating the 50 to 54 for membership. And we also talk about the need for a second senior center. Well, folks, for those of you who may not know, the first senior center came about as a means of collaboration between the town of Mount Pleasant, East Cooper Hospital, South Carolina Department on Aging, and other entities. To think that the town of Mount Pleasant has enough revenue in its budget to say, okay, we can go out and buy 3 or 4 acres of land and build a senior center on it. That's a fairy tale. It's not going to happen, all right? So
it needs, as we move forward, not only here in our immediate area, but around the country, a lot of the things and issues that needs to be resolved cannot be done by a municipality by itself. It has to be done through collaboration of other efforts and entities and churches and businesses and corporations and hospitals and all of that. So we need to be mindful of that. The existing center would have never come about if it were not through that kind of collaborative effort.
I am going to have to move on, Pat. I'm sorry, you got two other agenda items that are fairly lengthy too. So I appreciate everybody coming out. Your words were received well. This was a discussion item, and we will continue to discuss it. But do pay attention to your postings at the center, and if you have anything, several of you got my email, so if you have something that comes up, let me know, because I'll be glad to respond to you or get the information that you'd like to have. But thanks for coming, everybody, and we're going to move on to the next agenda item. Item number four. Jody, can you come up? Discussion of Public Services Department support of facilities and grounds for public recreation. Jody, this is a wonderful report. We really needed this. I thought it was excellent what you produced here. Very eye-opening and pretty well tells us a story of what's going on with your part of the support of recreation. So I appreciate it very much. It was well received. Where do we want to go with this?
Well,
the numbers only grow for recreation, so.
Yes, sir. I guess for the sake of time and for brevity, the impact of what public services provides to recreation is $2.3 million a year, more or less. And so that would bring the total cost of recreation in Mount Pleasant to over $8 million, not including capital.
Yeah, $8.3 million to be exact.
$8.3 million, vis-a-vis about $2.5 million in revenues.
And with our revenue still in the 2.5 range, so it doesn't improve our stead as far as, and not that it's supposed to.
Right.
We have already talked about this enough that, you know, recreation is not supposed to be a break even, but it does put a nice light on how much public services spends on recreation's behalf to support fields and cleanliness of all of our facilities. So do you have something to add to this, Joe?
No, sir, I do not. I guess that's all in the report.
Anybody on the committee have anything you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say, Joey, appreciate all your hard work. This is a great report.
Thank you, sir.
Great numbers. I mean, known it for a long, long time, but thank you.
What we did, folks, is we knew public services spent a lot of their time and money supporting recreation, but we didn't know how much. We wanted to get a real finite number as to how much it costs public services and the percentage of time their employees spend on recreation. Turns out it's, as you can see up there, it's 24% of the total public service dollars are spent supporting rec. That's fields, that's everything, you name it, other than capital purchases, that's correct. But everything else is pretty well down to even labor costs and overtime costs that we get that kind of support from public service. So it'll help us going forward to know just how much we are spending. Anything to add on this, Tom Steen?
Only thing I can add in the realization that 24% of the public service budget goes to offset the cost for recreation fields and all of that. There's no way to offset the cost in any shape, form, or fashion.
Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit on the next agenda item, but no, not those kind of dollars. I mean, we're not talking about, and I'm misquoted, it's 25% of his department supports rent, not 24, so. But no, I mean, we understand we're, it's a service provider to the town, and we
they
spend,
didn't do it, someone else would have
we
to
spend
do
a lot of money. Behind police and fire, Recreation is now solid number three.
It's our most at the fire department.
Pardon me?
Fire department's 8.3.
Yeah.
And we're about right there.
Right there with the fire department. Gary?
Yeah, Gary Santos, 6090 Greystone Boulevard. Just to answer Mr. Marshall's question, which was a great question. I know you don't like to hear about this, but I think turf fields would help us reduce that price by a lot. It would take us a couple of years to catch up, but I think if we had a couple of turf fields here, we wouldn't have to have so much maintenance and cutting the grass and things like that, fertilizing and all. I think it would reduce these costs and allow them to concentrate on other aspects of the community. But just to answer her question, I think that we need to, and I think we're going to hear more about it. I know that the Moultrie Middle School kids are doing a little project where they're kind of looking into. One of them has a recreation project that he's looking into, and that's one of his first questions he asked me was about turf fields. So I think it's going to come up again, but I do think that that's a good way of us being able to trim this down a little bit and able to also to provide all of our programs an opportunity to start on time. I mean, this past year, or might have been the year before, they were 2 or 3 weeks behind schedule because of the rain. And so, you know, what happens is it pushes that program back into the basketball season, the football season, and the basketball season, and then kids have to decide whether they want to finish playing football or start playing basketball, and I think it hurts the quality of our program when we have that, but with turf fields, we'll be able to start and stop on time every year without any issues. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. I think we have been looking at it, are looking at it. I know we're spending more money on drainage issues right now instead of the turf. We knew the turf had some big disadvantages from what we've seen in visiting Myrtle Beach, for example, where the field stayed locked most of the time because of non-usage. They wouldn't let people use them because they were so special. They cost so much, so they wouldn't let people on them. So that was a really kind of a negative, the first negative that I took from that. Other than that, it was just the upkeep and sort of some of the anti-feeling of what makes up a turf field. Parents didn't like their kids being inhaling some of the particles that come with a turf field. But we talk about all that, and it's another good topic of discussion, but I think we'll continue to look at it, too, down the road. Thomas,
I want to throw a question out, maybe totally senseless, but if I don't throw it out, I won't know. We have developers who are coming to the town for the town to develop one kind of a project, or another, some of them residential, some of them mixed use. What is to prohibit the town requesting of some of the fields that we're talking about into some of these communities that they're proposing?
What's to prohibit us is if we make it a condition of approval for a project. We have, by law, designated what we can extract from developers and what we can't extract. And by law, they're obligated to satisfy those requirements. After that, we put ourselves in a very precarious position if we hold up a project because of, say, a ball field or a dog park or a skate park. And they would have to do something like that voluntarily. And in the only years I've been here, I've failed to see a developer come forward with something like that. I mean, gosh, we sat through a subcommittee meeting not too long ago at Alhambra Hall where people were talking about the lack of affordable housing. And we had several people around the table who could have produced many affordable housing units if they wanted to. So I'm not sure at the end of the day how much ability we have to extract those things.
Okay, but in my mind, especially as we look forward with moving forward with the growth management plan, I don't see what harm it would do to ask the question. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we have all kinds of developers that are coming to us to develop one kind of project or another kind of project. And it's always basically what they want. It's what they want because, understandably, their goal and mission is to maximize the return on their investment. However, this town of Mount Pleasant, there are needs that this town has that would help to maintain, sustain, and enhance the quality of life that our residents want. So I feel that as the developers are coming down the pipe asking for these different projects and whatnot, if we do not ask, okay, incorporate a ball field in your project, you know, which would serve a need that this town has, that would help to ensure that we have, you know, adequate ball facilities or fields or whatever it may be. And I feel if we don't ask, and I say that because I know as long as I've been on council and sitting, and the developers are coming in asking for this, for that, for the other thing, and in most cases, we try to accommodate them. I think it's now, especially with the growth plan in place, turn the coin over and says, okay, we're willing to work with you, but the town of Mount Pleasant needs this. Are you willing to work with us? And again, comes back to my word, collaboration. If they want something, then bring something to the table that's going to satisfy a need that this town and the residents in this town has.
I don't disagree. I would love to. I think we're on the same page. I think all of us would love someone else to pay the bill for assets that we can enjoy.
But my point is, if you don't ask, they're definitely not going to volunteer, you know. So I would just like to see us have the mindset as these projects come in front of us, you know, and they tell us what they want, you know. Okay, well, we need a ball field over here in this corner, you know. Are you willing to work with us and collaborate to ensure that we have this ball field or whatever it may be?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Received his information. All right, any other questions? Any other statements? Jody, again, thank you.
Yes, sir.
If somebody can keep up with this on an annual basis, it would be really helpful. We get into some new project type synthetic fields or something that, where the cost might go up or something. I'd like to move it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, our next item is fee proposal report. Ken?
Yes, sir.
This is something, folks, we've been working on for quite a while, looking at various areas in REC where we feel like we need, based on a consultant's interview a year ago, year and a half ago, regarding the deficit we show in our fee schedule for various parts of recreation.
Yes, sir.
I think the shortfall by the consultants was $147,000 we were short in our REC receipts. And as you can see from the numbers you just heard before, we're $6 million short just on money spent by the town versus income. But to be
this $600 for REC or the whole?
Well, $147,000 shortfall.
For REC.
Okay. So that's where we're at today, is kind of looking at where we would make these fee adjustments. Again, a discussion topic.
Your passion, boy. All right, we did go back for a request of the committee to look at five areas in which we could concentrate the fee proposal to you. Basically, we just went back and reviewed and made sure that our figures and our numbers were correct and pretty much the same thing as we presented several months ago. The new addition that we were looking at was what we termed administrative fees, that these would be tacked on to each class that would not be shared with the instructor. It would simply be an administrative fee that we would charge, that the full $5 would go to the recreation department and subsequently to the town. In that regard, this would include all other programs, whether it's a 70-30 split or an 80-20 split with the instructor. In aquatics, we're seeing fees like this. That just shows you what the changes would be in aquatics. You see the total. net down at the bottom would be 32, would be over 32,000, and that's if we stay at our current numbers. We are seeing increase in many of these numbers, particularly the swim lessons, and even members of our swimming program, we are seeing that those numbers increase. So you're looking at something that would increase year to year based on the number of participants in the program. Must be operator there. Senior center. Again, the proposal is in place for a $25 increase in the proposal. You see the net to MPRD, the non-resident rate would increase to 250. Our non-resident rates are usually double what resident rates are. 72,000 is what we expect to bring in, but I'd like to share something with you on the senior center. The senior center currently operates around $202,000 a year deficit. This proposal would not wipe out that deficit, but it would make a substantial impact on it.
You said 200,000, right?
Right, $202,000 is our current deficit with the senior center as far as revenue and expenses.
Is that annually?
Annually. This past year was the one that we did, but that's pretty much the same year round.
Is this number with or without the 50 to 54?
With.
Talking with it.
He's asking about the 15 grand for the 50 to 54.
This includes everything. This does not take away the 15 grand from the 50 to 54 year old. This is moving as we currently move right now. The interesting thing with our senior center is that the membership at the senior center represents 6% of our total participation numbers. We have nearly 46,000 individuals who participate in our program. The senior center represents about 6% of that, yet 13% of our budget goes toward the senior center. So, and then 13% of my staff goes to the senior center as well. So we're at that to where we're putting more resources into the senior center to support a lower number of participants in the program.
Can you clarify non-resident, please? Does that mean non-Charleston County or not Mount Pleasant?
Non-Charleston County.
Okay.
Now, we've gotten, as Ms. Coach Marshall mentioned, we did get some funds, commitment of funds, but that still has to go, I think, through the full council, full county council before that becomes official. And that was $40,000 for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And even taking that, if I was to add that to the deficit, we're still at $160,000 plus a year, even bringing that in with our deficit over there. So that's pretty much what covers the senior center proposal. If there's a desire to go with a lower increase, I can provide some information on that as well. But right now, what we're proposing is the $25 increase.
Is the number of individuals mentioned?
Rodley, let's wait till afterwards, if you don't mind. Let's get through the report.
Kids Grow and Moms Morning Out, again, this is another program that continues to grow over at the Jones Center in Park West. As you can see, we're proposing to increase that current fee to $170, and basically it's almost like a daycare operation where we're taking care of these children for either 3 or 2 days, and that, to me, you compare that with the public market, and it's still a very good value that we're offering, even with the proposed increase, which would bring in around $5,300 a year. These programs do have a limit on the number of people that can be in the program, so you won't see this figure change too much over the years unless we have additional facilities to where we can offer the same program. Tennis, we're just proposing to increase our seasonal membership to $45. Again, that's a net of about $4,000. But we are expecting some issues with our tennis courts, particularly over at Whipple. Mr. Perry, you know we've had an issue in the last 6 months of water accumulating around tennis courts. When it's not raining, it's a saturation problem. courts are 20, 25 years old, and they just don't pull the water down, the water seeping up through the courts. I think eventually, in the next year or two, we may be looking at replacing four courts over at Hooker Road to solve this issue. And by the way, we are monitoring the number of days that we lose on those courts because of that water accumulation when it's not raining. And we'll have a report for you within several months to let you know where we stand with that. Sponsorship, we are recommending an increase in sponsorship. Our revenue this year in sponsorship that we've received so far is $76,000, which is more than we anticipated we would raise. So we're doing a whole lot better job in getting the sponsorship. The businesses have responded very well to our programs. T-ball and machine pitch, all of our teams are sponsored this year. That's 32 teams that we have sponsorship for.
That's great.
And summertime is it's a challenging time to get sponsors, but it's worked out well. We are suggesting a 23%, an average of 23% increase in these following sponsorship opportunities. Single team sponsorship, multiple team sponsorship, banner sponsorship, sponsorship package, which includes a banner and team sponsorship, and then event sponsorship, which we go after. We do anticipate an additional revenue of just over $17,000 with this increase in the sponsorship proposal. And what you're looking at, you apply all five of the proposals together, you're looking at a gross increase of nearly $170,000, and then a net increase of around $130,639. One thing I would like to say with the senior center particularly, even though you don't see a change in the gross income or the net income, that money helps us to continue to provide free programs such as free exercise classes and the other free programs that we offer within the center itself. If you look, and we did a comparison as to the value of what a member gets for free as a member, it comes to over $12,000 worth of value for $100. So that money, again, would help us with our operation at the senior center as well. Now, that's the last slide on that. Okay. I'll leave that one up for you.
Please, thank you. Thank you very much. Again, another good report. Questions from committee? Ms. Javens from committee.
Yep, I was able to, in the former years when we sat on the committee together, Ms. Thompson, you and I together, we had a rate increase, but that was focused mainly on our athletic side. I think that was in 2008, maybe. And looking at this, we've been talking about it because, in my opinion, it's dearly needed. It comes out to a user fee because it's the people that use it; they pay for it. I'm in agreement, and right now looking at these fees, except for two. And those two will be aquatics and kids grow and mom's morning out. I believe those two actually need to be higher. The increases. I've actually had people in the aquatic side come to me and tell me they'd be, without me asking them, be happy to pay more. And when I see, you know, the masters, the proposed 50, that's something I'd take to $100.
Well, and the tennis the same way, Paul. Mm-hmm. Those folks have been begging for an increase.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But
and the mother's morning out, I can tell you what my church charges. You don't want to know. That's about four times this number.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable what people pay to have that 3 or 4 days kids free.
Well, with that, I'm not sure if it's something you want to do today or maybe just have staff visit those three. Maybe get some more information.
I'm in no rush.
Yeah.
I mean, if those are the three that we'd like to take a harder look at,
sure,
then let's do that.
So you're talking aquatics, mom's morning out, and tennis.
And tennis.
I failed to mention in the report as well, aquatics, we are looking at
As you know, in the budget this year, we got $90,000 to do some major work at the pool. We will be looking at some additional expenses in the future. Jones Center is 25 years old, and our dehumidification system at the Jones Center is now being held by duct tape, bandages, and paper clips. And, you know, you can do amazing things with duct tape, paper clips, and bandages. That's a huge expense that we anticipate in the next 2 to 3 years that we're going to have to address. We're talking $350,000 to $400,000. So our facilities are aging, and that was one of the reasons why we came back with this proposal, because we're aging.
Well, let's take a look at it next month at the very latest, make some adjustments or at least some research, and we'll go forward from there.
Okay.
Thomas, anything? You good? Anybody in the audience like to say anything? Robbie, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Robbie, on that 1296, Mr. Aaron Waldron. I have a question about that 46,000 number in the stadium that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Are those individuals, are they counted multiple times, depending on what they're doing, or is that 46,000 one person counted?
46,000 is one person counted once. They have signed up for at least one program with us, and that's a huge number.
Yes, it is.
And then if you start throwing in the programs that they do, we're talking in the 60s.
Yes, sir. Easily.
Just a quick Jerry Sandoval, 69 Greystone Boulevard. I just ask that you just be careful when you talk about raising the master's fees, because you're already talking about raising fees at Senior Center, and you know, masters are they could be members of the Senior Centers as well, so you'll be raising them you know, in their programs, and then again on the senior side. So I'm just asking to be to monitor that, and you know, if you're going to do it, just keep that in mind.
Thank you. Real quick, Pat.
Yes.
Name and address.
Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. On the topic of volunteers at the Senior Center, intergenerational activities is great, and I would like to throw out a suggestion of getting young kids to come over and volunteer at least after school, because they need the community work, and maybe there's some other groups that need to do community work, and I think it would be a win-win for both sides.
Thank you, Pat.
And Pat, I agree with you on that, but at the same time, when you bring in the younger generation, you need those older generation that's going to set the framework that those younger generation will mirror. And if the older ones ain't doing it right, the younger ones ain't doing it right.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. I appreciate the input. Ken, we're going to hold that project report.
I would like to just brief you all very briefly on the Charleston County School District Middle School football
team. Oh, okay, please.
As you know, we've been looking at that, trying to anticipate what's happening. My understanding at this moment is that the school district has withdrawn their proposal to fund a middle school program, football program for the school district at this time. However, I'm not sure to what steps Mondo High School will take. They have expressed a desire that they could run a program themselves. So we're still in limbo as far as what we're going to do until we hear some word back from what Mondo is on.
Well, we'll talk to him this afternoon, real serious.
Yes, very serious.
I have one brief comment. Linda Page, 1458 Short Street. Saturday at the Waterfront Park, we will have the Sweetgrass Basket Festival. Ms. Stokes Marshall, can you tell them the time on that?
Okay, yes. This will be our 11th year for our Sweetgrass Cultural Arts Festival, Saturday, June the 6th, between the hours of 12 and 7 p.m. at the Mount Pleasant Waterfront Park, and we invite all of you to come out and join us.
I'd also like to add that one of our residents, Ms. Henrietta Snipe, was selected. Her Fanner basket was given to Volvo as their international gift from the governor of the state of South Carolina, and they had nice press yesterday on Sunday morning showing the Gullah Geechee corridor and the importance of our Gullah culture here in Mount Pleasant.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we were featured on Sunday morning CBS News Worldwide.
We stand adjourned. Thank you all.
Sunday morning, did a story on it. They were doing a story on Savannah and Charleston and the preservation of the roads and our buildings.
We stay right here.
I think so.
I got that. I'm gonna go stick on the phone.
How's your weekend?
We do a few.